RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls with me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the glorious, sunny and absolutely beautiful, with a little bit of snow still left on the top, and yes, it is June. Tatry Mountains, that's me, and over in the in his pit.
I'm not in my pit, I'm in my shorts.
Right. Have you got your beads ready?
Me beads?
Oh, by the way, the guy over there is Lee Banks.
That's me.
Have you got your hippie clothes ready?
I haven't, mate. Honestly, no, I've just... Well, actually, I have, yeah. I look cool, man. I look so cool.
Well, you've got your hair anyway.
I've got the hair, I've got my bell-bottom jeans, I've got a waistcoat so I can just show my arms off, but not my man boobs. And... I just look cool, man, and I'm going to be there with
listen,
my microphone.
Listen to
in
him. Listen to him. I look cool, man. Hey, I'm fab. You mean you just fab man? Fab.
That's a bit sort of middle of the road. I just look cool, man.
But they didn't say cool in the '60s.
I'm now in the 2010s or something.
No, you're not. You're in a time warp from the 60s and 70s. They didn't say cool then. I've looked it up. I've looked it up on the internet.
What did it say? Go on, tell me then.
Apparently words that we use were like fab and funky. But they didn't...
You've been looking on Dickipedia again, haven't you?
No, I wouldn't use that for the last... I would never trust anything that's on that particular thing. Anyway, this is the news and banter is to tell you that...
Are you telling them?
No, you can do it. That Lee's off to something incredibly special. He's needing to change his underwear every 3 seconds, and he's probably wearing cologne and sort of anti-pong stuff under his arms because he's pouring with sweat. Because he's off to meet somebody special... at somebody somewhere, what is becoming, I think now, the second biggest festival in the UK, I think, if I'm right, Lee.
It is. I think you're 100% right. And so, yes, everybody, I'm off to meet His Royal Bobness.
Right.
I'm going to meet His Royal Bobness, and we're going to sit down and we're going to talk to each other. And you know what?
Could you just explain for the rest of them again? Atcha? Meaning, and what?
Well, okay.
Who's, what or who is the Royal Bobness?
Oh, don't be so silly. I think you are my, I'm not, no, I've written something down for you, but I'm not saying it because it's rude.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, no, I have to say, in a serious vein, that it's down to RTIFM. It's the power of RTIFM.
Mm-hmm.
RTIFM has been invited to the Hop Farm Festival in Kent. I'm going because Eric's over in Slovakia, and also I'm younger than him, and I understand being cool and fab. And there is a potential... Well, we're put in for interviews with His Royal Bobness.
Who is that?
I'm not telling you. Everybody else in the world knows it's Bob Dylan. I love you, Bob. Oh, but I'm going to sit there and I'm going to talk to you. I might kidnap him, you know, and bring him here. Mm-hmm. I might bring him home, keep him in the barn. And we're going to see C6 Steve.
Yes.
Ray Davis out of the Kinks. Van the Man.
Whoa.
Mumford and Son. Blondie. I can't remember. There's just dozens of them.
Blondie?
Blondie!
Not Debbie Harry.
Debbie Harry. Yes.
I demand a signed photograph. With love to Eric.
Would you like kisses on the bottom from her?
Yeah, absolutely. I might I might even pay for the plane trip for that, and I can't say it.
there's a ticket there waiting for you if you want to come across.
Oh yeah, right. Like I can do that. You know I can't.
And I've got a chance. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it is because I won't find out till there. But we're going to get some interviews. I know Vince Power, who is the man who set this whole thing up, wants to talk to RTIFM, right?
Oop.
And you know what I'm going to ask him?
What? Look out, Vince, look out. Here comes the preempt to the questions.
No, it's a true question, and it's a good, straightforward question. When you consider Bob Dylan, Van Morrison, C6 Steve, and Ray Davis, for instance,
yes.
Right? If you add their ages up, they actually, four of them, come to 280, right? So I want to know off Vince,
yes.
What backstage demands do they make when it used to be sex, drugs and rock and roll? What do you have to do now? Zimmer frames and...
commodes.
Yeah.
Don't you be rude about the young Debbie Harry. What?
No, Debbie Harry, no, she's all right. She's
you'd be in dead trouble with that. And also, of course, Van Morrison. Because Van Morrison.
Van Morrison,
famous...
Do you Van Morrison for me?
No, I'm not going to do it. But, of course, Van Morrison was famously played in the final 30 minutes of Radio Luxembourg back in 1992.
Do it.
No, because I can't. I just can't. I'm just not in the mood.
You just want me to mate you, don't you?
Yeah, I know. No, I'm not going to. And, of course, he wrote the song about Athlone and, of course, Radio Luxembourg. And it's one of those songs. True story. When I first came here, the guy who owns the local nightclub actually said to me, I know about you, blah, blah, blah. Do you have that song by Van Morrison where it talks about Radio Luxembourg? And prior to this nightclub opening, we had nightclub speakers on so loud it almost hurt your ears, and we listened to that with Van the Man, and it was stunning. Stunning.
He is stunning. Have you ever heard his version of Bob Dylan's "Just Like a Woman"?
Yes,
it is absolutely incredible. And when he hits that double eight or middle eight,
this is going to be a great interview, isn't it? Middle eight, dear boy.
Van Morrison. Well, I've got my question for Van the Man. I've got to say, why are you, Van, the most bad-tempered man in rock, although PJ Proby's not far behind you at the moment?
I'll leave it at that. Anyway, have a nice time over at the Hop Farm Dewberry in Kent, which is kind of nice. That's in the Kent showground, isn't it?
It's near... Is it? Is that what Hop Farm is? It's a showground. They made that up. Are they pretending?
No. No, it's a prop. It's a big showground at Hop Farm. It's a huge thing.
It is, yeah, that's right. Near Tunbridge.
Yeah. No, Tunbridge Wells, it's the same thing. You go down to the...
You just corrected me for no reason and then pulled yourself off.
All you got to do is pop round the M25, just past Junction 4, you turn off there, and it'll take you down to Hop Farm.
Is that how I do it?
Yes.
Junction 4, off the M25?
Just after that, yeah.
I don't want to die on the M25.
It's the next one after Junction 4.
So it's Junction 5?
Yes. But you'll see the signs from 4.
Why did you say Junction 5?
Because you need to slow down a bit from Junction 4 so you don't screw up and miss the next junction. Because I know what you're like.
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
Should we tell them very briefly why all my recordings have been rubbish?
If you want to completely embarrass yourself to a global audience, including many well-known and established broadcasters, you go ahead.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a confession to make, which has been causing Eric lots and lots
total
of
total and utter grief.
Yeah, for 18 months. And I am ashamed to admit that the reason my recordings have been so bad, because it was him who last night who said, my recorder is, to use his word, crap, right? It cost me £125. It can't beat that word. Anyway, I found out what I've been doing. Instead of putting my microphone into the microphone hole, I've been putting it in the headphones hole. So I've been recording all the interviews that have been crap through my headphones.
You despair, sorry, boys and girls, don't you? And you know what?
But you've done a really good job of managing to get most of the external noise out of it.
And do you know what he said to me once on the television, boys and girls? He said and made... No, I can't say what he said. I can just paraphrase it. He said, Eric is a terrible producer. I thank you. Anyway, staying with the sort of celebrity bits for a minute. And I am really annoyed about this. Very, very, very annoyed.
I am annoyed. Which one is it?
Well, there's two things happening. You know, there's these austerity moves all the way around the world. And we know we've got to be sensible at the minute and not spend too much money. So here we go again. Out comes the Daily Mail type people who say, we demand to know what the top salaries of government people are. And... they want to know how much the BBC pays for its what is called talent. And I know that's what they call it because I had a talent account. I was on the books. And they want to know how much these different people get paid. It's got damn all to do with you, to be quite honest. And as far as the government officials are concerned, I hope they leave. And you end up getting monkeys in those jobs because you're going to be paying peanuts. You cannot have people in jobs like the nuclear departments, the head of serious entities within the government, working for like £20 a year. You don't get the experts if you do that. So stop whinging. Start paying the going rate for things and stop being flipping English and jealous.
Yeah.
Right, that's it.
What's that got to do with it, though?
That's the trouble.
We've got every right to know what people are earning on the BBC. We pay for the BBC. We pay extortionate amounts for the BBC.
So when if I buy a piece of toilet paper, namely a newspaper, I'm then entitled to know exactly how much the journalists are earning because I bought the paper, right?
Well, actually, yeah, I can't see anything wrong with that.
But they don't do it, do they? No!
I'll tell you now, a basic newspaper journalist earns about £15,000 a year. Once you start moving up the scale, you get on to about 26 to 30. And that is really where you'll stay, unless you reach the upper echelons of the job.
So if you're a lead columnist, which means you're working for about an hour a day in a national newspaper, how much do you get for a national column?
It depends who you are. It depends how big your name is, isn't it? This is all the celebrity.
I'm a really A-class celebrity now.
Who are you?
Jeremy Clarkson.
Jeremy Clarkson, I would think, would be able to command at least £1 million.
Well, that's worth it. Say I was... no, because all the people I want to say I like, so I can't be nasty about them.
Pick somebody you don't like.
Piers, what's his name? The failed news...
Piers Morgan?
Yes.
He is a... Well, I would think, Piers Morgan, he doesn't have to write columns now. He has become such a big celebrity. Mm-hmm. And also part of the reason for it is because a lot of people feel the same as you, that they don't particularly like him. But he is a multi-million pounds a year earner. And as an entertainer, he's all right. He probably is a bit overpaid, actually. Sorry, Piers. I think you might be a little bit overpaid for what you do.
So basically what we're saying is you get people who write these big columns in newspapers could probably earn £1 million a year for working about an hour a day on a column.
Well, no, you don't work like that. I'll tell you what, to write a column for a newspaper, it's not an hour a day. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Clement Freud died a while ago.
I know how long it takes to write columns. I was a national columnist in magazines.
Yeah, but when you think, he was even writing for the Racing Times.
Yeah.
Well, he could only manage three columns a week, and that was, dedicated to it. I'm writing my book, that's why I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. I'm writing my book, I can write, sometimes, in a whole day, three lines. But what a three lines I've written!
So, anyway, I reckon it takes about, I'll be generous, 2 hours to write a few hundred words, which equals a column. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you can write an idea and then you've got to rewrite it to make it start to make sense.
But I don't care.
A 1,500 word column would take a proper writer, a real proper McCoy writer, 6 hours.
Really? To write 500 words?
Well, 1,500, all right. 500 words, it'll take you a couple. Yeah, it could take you a couple of hours. Right. Not many columns do got in 500 words, though,
How many words are they then?
About 1,500, 12 to 1,500 generally.
No, I'll give it 4 hours max.
All right, well, I'll settle on 5.
You miserable git. but anyway, back to the plot, because we've lost it. The truth is, they're getting paid... If you say I'll give you 5 hours a day. So it's half of a working day. They're getting paid £1 million a year for 5 days a week. So it's not 7 days a week. That is ridiculous money. Absolutely ridiculous money compared to people who are doing top jobs on television, who are looking after, because that's what it is. You are entrusted with an audience of a certain size. What's the biggest newspaper in the UK?
In terms of size of the sheet or size of sales?
No, not sales. How many people actually read it? Not sales equals two readers or three readers. How many?
No, sales equals one reader.
Right, that's all right
that's
then. Yeah, go on then. How many? What's the biggest one? The Sun.
The Sun has got to be, hasn't it? Yeah, I don't know what they're now. Is they're 3.5 million, aren't they?
Okay, even if we say 3.5 million, yeah.
I think it is, yeah.
Right. Therefore, under that, if we extrapolate from that, they've got an audience of 3.5 million. If you take the top flight people on television, they can often get as high as 30 million people watching a programme.
Yeah, but it's the transient media.
No. Forget that. They are entrusted with an audience just like a print person's entrusted with that column. It's the same deal. Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing. And I don't care whether you love print or don't, it makes no difference. They're entrusted with an audience, as we are entrusted with an audience. And it's a privilege to be entrusted with that audience. And therefore, if you think about it, why these newspaper print guys have to sort of run a big campaign? We demand to know how much the BBC is. No, screw that. Let the BBC have all the details of what the print people get. If you want one...
We've just done that.
But we haven't.
Just given them you.
No, you haven't.
The editor of The Sun, I think, earns... I think it's 1.2 million.
You see, you think, but they don't make it transparent.
Now, I can find... Of course you can. You can put it in the internet now and it'll tell you immediately.
I bet it don't. How much does Jeremy Clarkson earn from his column in The Times?
Oh, I would think probably...
No. We can't think. My point is it's not transparent.
My point is that if we looked it up on the internet now...
Would you believe it?
Of course I would. Oh, no, I wouldn't know, because it's on the internet.
Gotcha.
Well, look it up on Dickipedia.
Yeah, right. So anyway, there's this big demand at the moment, boys and girls, for the BBC, the broadcaster, to release all the data. And, of course, they've named and shamed government officials that are earning more money than the Prime Minister. You just got to wake up, girls. If you want to get idiots in jobs and get it cheap, fine. But then you will get monkeys and you'll get... because you're paying peanuts. And you've got to respect the fact... that to get quality people in quality jobs, you pay the game rate. You don't want to do it? Fair enough. moving along. I'm sorry, Lee.
I'm sorry, I'm staying here. What?
I'm sorry, Lee. You're going to laugh at me now.
I would never laugh at you. You've never made me laugh in the 18 years I've known you.
apparently, the EU have cracked it again and shelled out another yoke. Apparently, EU officials say...
so cliché and hampered by postcard from Blackpool humour.
Yeah, kiss me quick. UK officials say they will defend food
you
producers. UK officials say they will defend food producers' right to label groceries as numbers. This is really funny for me, because in the UK, if you're not in the UK, boys and girls, you buy a dozen... And there's two types of dozen. There's a dozen.
Unless you buy a baker's dozen.
That's right. So a dozen is 12, and a baker's dozen, as Lee quite rightly said, is 13. If you walk into a shop in Slovakia and go, "I'll have a dozen eggs, please," they'd look at you like you've lost the plot, because they buy everything in tens. Ten is a way you would buy stuff, not dozens. Don't understand it. Now, the EU have come up with a theory that they're going to draft new legislation, which will mean standardised food labels, so you can't have a dozen. And I have to say to the EU, oh, stick it.
Stick what?
One of the EU's jobs is to keep tradition alive for nationals, but be a good European. It's a national thing to buy dozens in the UK. You buy a dozen eggs, a dozen apples, a dozen oranges. It's normal. You can't all of a sudden take the national values of a country away and go, right, we're going to do that then. It's ridiculous. And plus the fact, and I like this bloke, there's a guy called Syed Kamel, who's an MEP, and what Syed said, and I like this guy, he said, now he's an MEP, by the way, he warned that millions of pounds could be wasted by shops and bakers having to change their packaging just to comply with some EU legislation. You know, it's like too many cooks are spoiling the broth. It's ridiculous.
Well, I agree with you. And also, there is this terrible thing of the loss of identity of Britain. We had a baker's dozen. Nobody else in the world has got a baker's dozen. We have a baker's dozen. And for ladies and gentlemen who don't know, that means 13. We also have an ordinary dozen, 12 eggs, a dozen eggs. That's what we live by. Now, you can go in a supermarket and you find little packs of eggs in fours. But do you know what? The eggs in fours are twice the price of the ones in 12.
Well, whatever. And that's the same from here, Lee. That there are traditional things that are in shops. It's normal. It's the way it's been. It's the way people want it to be. Brussels can't do that. What it can do wonderfully is, as it's done this week, it can legislate about the mobile phone charges, for example.
Where
they've pushed the suppliers to stop all this sort of rip-off networking charges, so everything's going to be organised. And by the way, boys and girls, talk to your mobile phone operator if you use the internet when you're going abroad or on holiday, because there's now a system in place right across the EU, worth looking it up. Now, going back to this subject, this is where the EU doesn't work for me, because you can't change those values. You know, for goodness sake, it's like there's certain alcohols that you can and can't buy in countries. So what? You know, it's like you can go into a coffee house in Holland and do stuff that you can't do in a coffee house in Slovakia or England.
Well, that's right. It's like drinking absinthe. Why can't you buy proper absinthe all over Europe? Why do you have pretend absinthe in England?
It's pretend. I just reminded myself of how you looked after drinking a glass of absinthe.
Oh, not after drinking a glass, you cheeky monkey. I was like half a bottle.
Anyway.
People think I'm noisy now.
Yeah. Please, Mr. and Mrs. EU, leave the dozen alone. It works. Absolutely. Leave it alone.
Well, we're going to have a film called The Dirty 13.
Yeah, that's going to be really good, isn't it?
That's not a bad idea, actually, is it? Should we make one?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Because we're running short of time, dumping some of the things. By the way, Charles Saatchi, from the famous family of Saatchi and Saatchi with the advertising thing, they've gifted more than 200 works from the Saatchi Gallery to the British public, apparently. The artworks include Tracy Emin's bed.
Oh, what's wrong with that, then? Go on, you're going to say something pathetically, stupidly, small-minded, simpletonistic.
There is some good news.
Go on.
There is some good news. Apparently,
yeah, she's made it. She's made her bed.
The museum...
They haven't tidied it up and put all the dirty knickers in the washing, haven't they?
Apparently, there will be no charges will fall to the state, which means you poor, unsuspecting souls in the UK have not got to pay out anything. The museum is going to meet all the costs of this whole malarkey that's going on. And just to prove how out of touch and why I can't go back, the Culture Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, says, Charles Saatchi has built up a collection of huge international importance. Rubbish. His decision to gift these works to the nation is an act of incredible generosity. No, it's not. And I'd like to thank him on behalf of the government. Will you do that? I'm not part of the government. Philanthropy is central to our vision of a thriving cultural sector. That's not culture, it's rubbish. And this is an outstanding example of how Britain can benefit from individuals' act of social responsibility. Yes, he's woken up to the fact it's crap, and therefore he's given it to the government. Marvellous. Absolutely wonderful. Dirty beds, indeed.
Did you realise that I just let you say that without involving myself in it anyway? Because all you're showing yourself up to be is the Philistine again that you've always been.
I am, and I'm proud of it.
That's why I love you.
Yeah, I'm proud of it. Congratulations to all the music guys, people that write stuff, because apparently theme tunes...
I don't understand this. I got very confused.
Right. This is all to do with television shows and films and stuff like that, where the writers or the authors of this stuff are British. For example, the music behind Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or The Weakest Link. This is producing massive exports for the UK. Nobody cares about it. Nobody listens to it. But I used to work with PRS as a consultant, and a lot of shows make huge amounts of money for the UK. And do you know what? They never get any credit for it. So well done to all the musical composers in the UK for actually being at last recognise, because some of the music, like The Weakest Link, for example, has been sold to over 100 countries. And because it's for you, this is for you, prog rock band Druid, remember that?
Druid?
Yeah.
I remember them.
Yeah. Right. Andrew McCrory, Shand, the guy that was in the band, he actually composed the Teletubbies theme.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
And moving along...
I understand that story now. That's all I was going to say.
Right. Last story of the week is going to be the Times newspaper, which has started charging its readers to read its content online.
Good on you, Times.
Makes no difference.
Times, they are a-changing. Of course, somebody will use that headline. I love you, Bob. We're coming to see you, you royal bobless gorgeousness.
He loves the Times and nobody's... Now, apparently, what they did last month is the times.co.uk, you had this kind of like a month of getting ready to pay. Now, you can pay per edition or you can pay £2 a week subscription to read the Times online. But... from the 22nd of May to the 19th of June, when they were in this subscription mode, now Experian Hitwise is one of the guys, they're kind of like the benchmark of how sites are doing in the UK, and Robin Godey is a real kind of guru in all this sort of stuff. Now, the Times market share fell to 2.67% in the week ending the 19th of June. The 22nd of June, 22nd of May, sorry, it was actually standing at 4.37, meaning no one's interested. And they're starting to charge for it.
I must have an interjection.
Let me just finish on this little bit. Robin says, so it's early days yet, but the conclusion so far seems to be this. Since it's forced users, i.e. the Times, to register in order to view its content, the Times has lost market share. However, this decline has clearly not been catastrophic, and none of the paper's rivals has particularly benefited. Yet, the real test will come when, in a month's time, they'll be able to see. When
that is
people
where the real test is.
Actually have to pay rather than simply register to view the Times. Robin, I think you're absolutely right. We'll come back and review this again in that time period. You have got 30 seconds for comment.
I've got 30 seconds of her.
Yep, go.
Well,
go.
Oh, right, I'm going, right. Yeah, I can't agree. What you're missing is the point that these are people, the doyens of the marketing world. They've seen that they've got to change into a different thing. And like I've been saying for weeks now, this is the pincer movement, which is going to take over the internet and bring news and news gathering and news style and presentation back to its rightful ground, which is here in the world of newspapers.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to go because I am now running to the toilet as I need to go quickly and have a wee.
And I'm running to see Bob!
Because I'm laughing so much at Lee's last comment. That was Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls. We'll be back to see you next week. Take care, bye-bye!
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.